Chapter 3. I awoke the next morning in my narrow bed, fully clothed, and a stark truth came to me. I was where no proper young lady should be. I needed only to close my eyes again to hear my father use those very words. But as I lay there, feeling the same tossing motion I'd felt when falling asleep, I took it to be that of a ship moored to the dock, I recollected Mr. Grummidge saying that the Seahawk was due to leave by the morning's first tide. It was not too late. I would ask to be put ashore, and in some fashion, I hardly cared how, I'd make my way back to the Barrington School. There, with Miss Weed, I would be safe. She would make the necessary decisions. Having composed my mind, I sat up with some energy, only to strike my head upon the low ceiling. Chastened, I got myself to the cabin floor. Now I discovered that my legs had become so weak, so rubbery, I all but sank to my knees. Still, my desperation was such that nothing could stop me. Holding on to now one part of the wall, now another, I made my way out of the cabin into the dim, close steerage and up the steps to the waist of the ship, only to receive the shock of my life. Everywhere I looked, great canvas sails of gray, from mainsail to main royal, from flying jib to trysail, were bellied out. Beyond the sails stretched the sky itself, as blue as a baby's bluest eyes, while the greenish sea, crowned with lacy caps of foaming white, rushed by with unrelenting speed. The Seahawk had gone to sea. We must have left Liverpool hours before.